Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Yeah, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, okay.
Okay. You ready?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think I'm ready for this jelly.
Right. And okay? When you get to the tip time, the ball is tipped. Like, where will you be on the nerve-ometer? Like,
all the way up.
Yeah.
The way up. I buy what Anthony Slater said. Here, let's just start with it right away. Which one is it, Grandy? Where is it? Here it is. I got it. Everybody ready? This is from the Joes on the Roast this morning. Slates, Warrior Insider. This is exactly where I want to start.
Part of why tonight is so massive to you know, win this game and not play Friday night. I honestly think this is the biggest night of basketball for them since Game 6, 2023 against the Lakers. Like, the result of tonight to me dictates whether they have a realistic playoff path, playoff life ahead of them, or if they're kind of dead on arrival. So
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Because I'm...
Expand on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, please, because...
No, we'll expand on it. He's absolutely right. I'm going to Wesley Hogan this one. Radio Insider, you know what I'm talking about. This is the biggest game in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
And yes, no, it's not a championship game. It's not even a playoff game. But understand, in my mind, not only does this dictate whether or not any sort of a playoff run is realistic... This dictates the entire offseason. This dictates what you do next. If you don't win this game, all of the yay, Jimmy's here, and the Warriors are contenders, boop, balloon pops. No, it wasn't. Wasn't good enough. Couldn't do it. Didn't get where you needed to be. You're just going to flimsy your way out. You're going to lose in five to Oklahoma City. I hope I don't have to be proven wrong, because I hope that the Warriors win this basketball game tonight. But the way those guys think with their championship mentality, you lose this game, whatever you did to get to this point was effectively not good enough.
Unless you pull off a real gigantic miracle by winning Friday and then winning against a 68-win team. And I won't bombard everyone with the numbers and the research, but teams that are that good in the regular season, they don't lose in the first round. The only time a team did was when they were a flukish 67-win team. It was Dallas, and it took a, a we believe against an inexperienced coach, and you mentioned a lineup switch and all the rest of it. That is not who Oklahoma City is. They were dominant. They're now healthy. They are deep, talented, long, and good. So that's a team you want to avoid, which means you win tonight. You get Houston. No guarantee you beat the Rockets.
Not at all.
Their path to continuing this journey is much, much easier by winning tonight.
And it's like, I'm with you with everything you said, but I actually think the idea of playing Friday, it goes even further than that.
Yeah.
I think it's threefold. Number one, Oklahoma City's awesome. Number two, your fatigue level, if you have to play Friday, is shot. And number three, how on earth can you actually have full-blown confidence in the Golden State Warriors and what they've built if they go into a situation of four home games over the last week and a half, where if you just win one of them,
just one,
favored in all of them, one of them, you are favored by 18 points.
Yeah.
You win one of them and you're in the playoff bracket and you win none. How can we feel that what we have felt is realistic if that's what unfolds? Now, listen, the only waiver I'm going to put out there is it's one night and it's one basketball game and wonky things can happen. I don't know if does somebody have to limp off or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or does Ja go for 60? Does he hit 9 threes? I mean, that's the scary part. It's one basketball game, and I never judge a team based on one night and 48 minutes. I don't think that that's fair. I don't think you can look at sports teams, Niners, Warriors, Giants, whatever. You would never watch one game and go, well, I've made up my mind about who you are.
No, but the judgment would be bigger, and I think you laid it out perfectly.
Absolutely.
You laid it out perfectly where you didn't have Steph and you lost Atlanta and Miami back-to-back. That sucked, but understandable. And then you come home and you retired against Houston after the gauntlet and you lost. Okay, San Antonio. You cannot lose to a Wembenyama-less San Antonio Spurs team at home. And then you back that thing up with a tough loss to the Clippers. You played well. So for me, you wouldn't be judging it based on one game, but it would be judging them on what you're describing, which is consecutive home losses in spots where you needed to come up with a win.
Well, and the premise is also based on this is if they were to lose tonight as well.
Well, then like again, on Friday.
Right.
If you lose on Friday
well,
as well.
Yeah, if you let Friday, forget Friday. If you lose on Friday, I mean, the whole thing is just an abject failure and an embarrassment. But again, like Houston, okay, there's the fatigue setting in, and Houston is good. The Clippers, man, that's a great basketball team. I thought the Warriors played really well. And you lost. You lost in overtime. Okay, I can wrap my head around that. The Spurs one for me remains the loss of the year. Very, very disappointing and frustrating. But now you're here tonight. You're here tonight, and I firmly believe that the spectrum based on tonight could not be wider. And here's what I mean by that. If you win the basketball game tonight, I think you can waltz to work tomorrow morning as confident as can be. I think that the path ended up exactly like you would want it to be.
Yep.
You're out of Oklahoma City's bracket, and you're playing a team that apparently doesn't have anybody over the age of 22. I mean, I know Dylan Brooks, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Zero playoff experience and a bunch of pups. So that's what you would get first, and you'd get rest. Not as much rest as you could have had, but still rest. 4 days off before you play in Houston on Sunday. To me, that's peacock time. That's, hey, all right, we're in. The path is good. Let's rest. Let's take a break. And let's see if we can make some music now. If you lose this basketball game, it is completely to the other end of the spectrum. I don't know how you could swagger into anything. Anything.
Well, that would be 4 straight home losses, and you'd be facing a hungry and probably a good Minnesota if they're the team that you wind up Sacramento or Dallas.
Sacramento or
in
Dallas.
Play-in. And, you know, you'd like your chances against both, but at that point now you get to what you're talking about, 48 minutes of wonkiness, and who knows what can happen over the course of 4 quarters. So I do think you're right about the spectrum of emotion because, yeah, you wanted to be top 6, but you could look back and say, you know what, we won 48 games, 2 more than last year. We are near perfect since Jimmy's been here, And yeah, things got sideways late, but we handled it in the play-in. We're the seven. Houston's got only three rostered players who are over the age of 30. So you're right about all the pups. And Jalen Green was born in 02. So was Shengun. Thompson was born in 03. Half their roster is younger than my oldest son. And that's where we get in my personal world. So, yeah, you're 48 minutes away from, like you said, Mark, a little R&R. So the Warriors would be off tomorrow, off Thursday maybe, light practice Friday, flight to Houston. It's a manageable buildup for a Sunday playoff game. And the other side of it is, oh, God, now we got to play Friday and grind it out. And didn't Anthony Slater say this morning that that game Sunday would be a noon game?
You're talking about Oklahoma City?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I heard that from Steiny and
Goo. It's probable.
So then your turnaround would be like barely more than 36 hours plus a flight to Oklahoma.
Slater on the morning said he would expect it to be a 36 hours between game on Friday and game one Sunday.
You know the last time the Memphis Grizzlies beat a Western Conference playoff team?
It's been a long time. It's been like a month, right? I think you said this earlier in the week or last week.
Let's see. April, 1 month would be to March. More.
Right. Well, I mean, two months?
Yeah. Keep going.
What's the date of their last win over a playoff team?
January 30th.
Yeah, that's 2.5 months.
They beat the Houston Rockets by 1 point.
Man, and since then they've beaten no Western Conference playoff teams.
I'm talking the top six.
Okay.
Or throw the Warriors in if you want. Top seven. Throw them in. I mean, I know they're technically not a playoff team yet. I'm scrolling. I hope I'm not missing one.
Okay.
They've beaten Dallas a couple of times. One of them was the last game of the season, which didn't matter for either of those teams. So I kind of throw that out. But scrolling.
They beat Phoenix three times.
Yeah, beat Phoenix. They beat Utah. They beat Miami. They beat the Pistons. They beat Charlotte.
Yeah, Houston,
they beat
January
Dallas.
30th.
Houston,
right.
January 30th. Yep. That's the last time that the Memphis Grizzlies beat a Western Conference playoff team.
And when they did that, they got to 32-16, and they've gone 16-18 since then.
I don't want anybody to mistake this. Memphis is very talented, and they're Memphis. We know the history, but don't get it twisted. It's not a good basketball team right now. And this is where, and I like you and I have, I think we've successfully gotten to the point where we just kind of like chuckle about it with each other about you are what your record says you are.
Oh, yeah.
The Grizzlies are 48-34 and the Warriors are 48-34. And no, I do not buy that you are what your record says you are, because the Warriors are 23-8 since they got Jimmy Butler. They're a very good basketball team. The Memphis Grizzlies in the months of February, March, and April are a very poor basketball team. And those are the two teams that are playing basketball tonight. And that's why the Warriors are a big favorite, and they absolutely can't lose. But look, we're wide open for you here today. We do have Eric Hasseltine, Memphis play-by-play local guy. We do have Kevin Harlan on the show. A lot of room for your calls, though. Where are you at, Golden State Warrior fans, with regard to how vital to their success is tonight? Is this I must win? Oh, God, here we go. But you know what I'm saying. To me, balloon pops if you don't win tonight. But let's take some calls on where you're at, Warrior fans. 888-957-9570. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. It's Willard and Dibs.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr tomorrow on the show. That ought to be interesting, no matter what the hell happens tonight. And what you just suggested on YouTube is about to happen tonight. Better not happen tonight.
Oh, because I said a six-point game. The spread's 6.5.
I didn't. I'm not betting this game. That's like, no.
Nor am I, but the score prediction that I put out there, 125 to 119 Warriors, is indicative of what the spread is at 6.5. So
yes, it is, but that's too close for me.
Well, then don't watch it. Because
I'm going to watch
it. Think that they're going to win by 38?
I don't think they're going to win by 38. Can I sit here and tell you that will feel that's too close for comfort unless the Warriors are up 125 to 111 with a minute and a half to go, and then Pat Spencer comes in and the Grizzlies go on a pointless run with a three at the buzzer to make it a 6-point loss. That's fine, but I don't.
Gamblers would hate that.
Yeah, they would. That would suck.
I mean, that'd be a bad beat. Scott Van Pelt.
I do not want this to be a clutch game. I don't want this to be a clutch game. I don't think that it should be a clutch game.
Well, the majority of the games the Warriors play are clutch games.
I know.
Come hell or high water, and that's just the way this team, I think, has been built. And, you know, we don't know officially about Moses Moody. Hopefully we'll know before the end of the show. He's questionable with back spasms. I don't know if that's a warm up and give it a go kind of an injury.
Yeah. We may or may not know before we're out of here.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, Moses Moody was not questionable yesterday, and he is today. So he woke up with something, and obviously that leads to multiple sort of things that people want to think about going into this game. First of all, what would the starting lineup be if Moses Moody can't play? And clearly does that, and I think automatically it does. It opens a new door for Jonathan Kuminga. Whether Kuminga is in the plans tonight or not, I think if Moses Moody is out, just for sheer bodies and for what he offers defensively on that end, you would be forced to give Jonathan Kuminga a pretty decent-sized role.
You would think, unless he just went to Gi. If he went straight Gi, if that's the way that went, and you don't have Moses, and he starts GP2. Steiny threw that out. I think he's right. You probably start Gary.
Probably.
And then if you go to Gi to get the minutes that Kuminga used to get, and Kuminga gets a DNP slash Gi, did not play. Gi. Not CD, but Gi. Then my God.
I don't think that's crazy.
Well, I mean,
because, again, this does come down to what you think is at the core of it. I know what's popular out in the streets. It's because Steve hates Jonathan. All right, fine. If you want to go there, you can. But think about what you're saying and think about what Steve told us last week. The concern is Jonathan when Draymond and Jimmy are both on the floor, and that group causes problems, becomes too easy to guard. And so that causes problems. And if that's the case, I can totally see Steve doing what you just suggested, because I got news for you. This is a monster game, and Draymond and Jimmy are going to be on the floor for most of it.
Well, Jimmy might be on the floor for all of it.
Exactly.
He played 48 of 53, and if you look at the quarter-by-quarter breakdown of Jimmy Butler, he sat for 90 seconds one quarter, a minute in the other. It was like a catch-your-breath, Jimmy, and you're going right back in there kind of a vibe, and so I would expect Jimmy to be north of, if it's a close game, he's going to be north of 44 minutes. Draymond's going to probably play 37. Steph the same. So
how many does that leave? How many does that even leave Jonathan? If your goal is I don't want him on the floor when both Draymond and Jimmy are.
Well, and you know there's 240 in a game. So if you're looking at right there 125 of the minutes, Pods is going to get at least 30, and then you got to have GP2 out there a bunch, and so you're starting to really get a small sliver of the pie for Kuminga anyway.
No doubt. But let's go with your numbers, even though we don't know. But let's say Jimmy did play 44 minutes, right? And you said Draymond would be what, at about 38?
Somewhere in there,
So mathematically, if you've only got 4 minutes when Jimmy's not on the floor, and you've only got 12 minutes or so when Draymond's not on the floor, this is a great word problem. What is the possible number of minutes that Jonathan could play if you never want him to play when both of them are on the floor?
Well, it would be 12 because, you know, Jimmy's
it's a pretty small number.
It's very small. And I do think that the problem is bigger than that when you think about other lineups that you want to have out there. Kevon Looney's another player that, you know, Kuminga, if it's Kuminga and Jimmy and Kevon, or Kuminga, Draymond, and Kevon, well, that's a problem because not a lot of spacing, not a lot of shooting.
Yep.
And I do think Gee falls in that same bucket to an extent that he, you know, you're not going to put him out there just to be a shooter. Although I do look at this game and I think tempo-wise, Memphis is going to push it. They're one of the best offensive teams in basketball. So I see this one being a little bit more of an up-tempo, freewheeling kind of ball game.
I'm trying to think, what was Gee's role when the Warriors played Memphis a couple of weeks ago and won by 9?
Yep, 134-125. And
he had 19 minutes, had 4 points, 6 rebounds, and an assist.
That was before Kuminga, or that was during the Kuminga.
Kuminga was hurt.
The bruise.
That, yeah, yeah.
That he had the tailbone bruise.
Tailbone.
Yeah, the
mm-hmm.
pelvic contusion.
Right.
So Gee stepped in and had those minutes, and Quentin Post played 20 minutes and was up out there doing what he does and shooting the three. And
no GP2 in that game also, by the way.
Right.
He was hurt also.
So that maybe leads to why Gee was out there. But I look at that game, and the Warriors took 99 shots. Memphis took 92. That is an up-tempo, freewheeling kind of ball game, and I think that's going to be the way this goes.
Well, remember, the Warriors scored a 45-point first quarter. Steph Curry came out absolutely out of his mind and finished the game with 52 points, had 12 three-pointers. That was the game where he was threatening to break the record and didn't do it, but he took a look at it there at the beginning of the fourth quarter, put up some heat check shots that didn't go in, but he had 12 three-pointers in that game, and the Warriors won by 9. So maybe it's that style. I tend to think that the gravity of a game like tonight slows things down a little bit. I don't foresee, like, count that up, 135 and 125. You're talking about
259,
almost 260 points.
Yeah.
I'll take the under on
260. Yeah.
Yes. I don't think it's going to be that wide open tonight. I think the gravity of it will slow it down a little bit. And unless Steph Curry is just nailing threes again like he was in that one, I think that you probably run things through Jimmy a lot, especially gets into the second half, let him get to the free throw line like he did in that game. He was 12 for 12 from the line. That'd be my guess. Dub Nation, we're glad you're listening, and we would like to get engaged with you. Let's get engaged. Before every game, and tonight's a big one, vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page, brought to you by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. Warriors Grizz play in tonight. Winners the 7, and will take on Houston in the first round. The losers got to wait for Friday, and the winner of the Dallas-Sacramento game. If you win that game, you get the 8 seed, and you're going to play OKC in round 1 just 48 hours or less later. If you lose on Friday, your season's over. So, the question we're asking, do the Warriors have to win tonight to have a realistic chance of making legitimate postseason noise? Yes or no? You can vote the 95.7 The Game poll on Twitter. We'll share the results with you later in the show. My answer is yes.
I think it's a pretty easy yes.
Yeah, and, like, absolutely have to win tonight.
And for me, the idea of making noise would be beating Houston as a 7 over a 2, and then you face the Lakers most likely in the next round, and you at least make it a deep series. You don't have to necessarily win that series make noise. I think that if you end up facing the Lakers in the Western semis, and it goes 7, and you lose at the Crypt in 7, and it's overtime, and it's a great series, that to me is making noise.
Well, ask yourself, 2 years ago, did that qualify as noise?
Yes.
I agree.
I believe so.
And Anthony Slater said this morning that tonight is the most important basketball game since their last playoff game, which was against the Lakers, game 6, 2 years ago. I'd argue that maybe this one is even bigger than that. And the reason I say that is because of sort of the feeling and the fallout that happens if you lose it. You lost that game to the Lakers. It was the first time, if you remember, it was the first time that in the playoffs a team had beaten a healthy Steph, Clay, and Dre throughout the entire series. So it was definitely a moment, and it was hard, and it was disappointing, and all of those things. But I also felt like it was like, look, They battled. They got to the playoffs. They beat the Kings. They moved on. You lost to LeBron James in six games. It's not like you got to go hide your head in the sand after that. It's frustrating and it's hard, but you didn't have to hide your head in the sand. After where we've been over the last couple of seasons and then over the last couple of months after the acquisition of Jimmy and all the talk, if you lose tonight and that leads to a whimper of a first-round ouster or even worse, a loss on Friday night, I think the fallout is great.
Yeah.
I think
and by great, you don't mean terrific.
I mean everything is back.
You mean vast.
Yes. I think everything's back on the table. I think that they would go back to the drawing board. Right now, there's a feeling of like, remember how many times has Steve said recently, we found something. Jimmy has come and we found something. Well, you go back to the lost and found if you lose tonight and you are a quick first-round whimper of an ouster.
Or even if you don't make it, to your point. And I think then you look at the offseason and think, what didn't work and how do we fix it and how do we go forward? You probably do that anyway, but if you do make some noise by winning a series over a two seed and then making a real tough push against a Laker team, in theory, you wind up losing in late in seven, whatever, that will definitely change the way you go about looking at this, because you could think, well, if we had Jimmy and Steph and Draymond all year, maybe we're a three seed or a two seed because that seemed to work. And you dug a hole in the middle of the year. You started 12-3. Then you were flatline mediocre for about 40 games. And then you got Jimmy and you found something. And unfortunately, you gave a couple away. The Utah game, the night of the deadline, the San Antonio game the other day, the back-to-back Atlanta and Miami without Steph. Those were tough, but you had some giveaways that kept you from being a five seed or maybe being even a four seed. So you would look at what worked and think, okay, we can build on that. But if you lose and then lose again and you don't even get a series, my God,
yeah,
it's not a complete teardown, but you got to take a hard look at what went wrong.
It's a start over with a fresh look. It doesn't mean that there'll be some massive trade or whatever, but yeah. And again, it doesn't even matter what we think. Ask yourself what they think. You know the way Steph Curry looks at the world, the way Joe Lacob looks at the world, the way Draymond Green looks at the world, the way Steve Kerr, Mike Dunleavy look at the world. They're not going to be like, well, that was a nice run. So now we gave a good try. Let's do a try it again next year. 38 years old.
Right.
Let's try it again. No, I don't feel that that's how they'd feel. I think things would get thrown off of the wall. If that were to happen.
Well, because by the time you made it back to a potential playoff game next year, it would have been 3 years almost since you actually played a playoff game.
Unreal.
Which is, it was 2 years ago today. You opened up at Sacramento. The Kings beat you 126-123. You actually were down 2-0 in that series, and it took a Steph Curry 50-burger to avoid a first-round ouster.
And a Harrison Barnes bonk.
Yeah. Which would have been nice.
Could have used one more. That was dog. Jeez.
But I do think the way that best of seven went led you to losing to the Lakers because you played
totally
2 days later.
Agreed.
Even though it was home, L.A. was a lot fresher, and you ended up losing game one of both of those series.
Yeah. Was it home?
Yeah. Yep.
The Warriors were the home team.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they needed to
beat. Because the Lakers came out of the play-in, I believe.
I think you're right. But the Warriors needed to beat the Kings in game six. I'll never forget it. You and I.
It was game five they beat them. And then they came. That's right. They needed
game six.
To. And that's when we sang at the team store.
Steiny sang.
That's so
Phil
funny.
Phil Collins. Remember Phil Collins Day? It was a beautiful day in the city. I'll never forget it. We're driving to Chase Center and Steiny is singing Phil Collins.
Yep.
Feeling in the air tonight. And you and I are at the team store, and everyone's like, you adorable little Kings. You did see, you're under our thumb. We told you you're under our thumb. And the Warriors got whacked, whacked in their own building, which forced the Steph Curry speech, the bus ride to Sac. Don't get on the bus unless you want to follow me, the 50-burger, and a win in game seven. But, yeah, it left their tank empty. And I think it led to it set up the loss to L.A. in the next round.
Sacramento turned it over 20 times and shot 40% from the floor.
They were brutal.
And won by 19.
Oh, you're talking about game six.
And won by 19.
Yeah. No, the Warriors were awful that night. Absolutely awful.
20 turns and you shoot 40%, well, you should lose that game.
That's
and they won by 19.
Is anybody else having the same experience I am today? where you're like, if I promise you, no matter where you are, if you got friends and family and coworkers, everyone's asking the same, how you feeling about the game tonight? I feel good. Oh, they'll get it done. And 90% of me is that way. And then every like 28 minutes, I go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
There's a big lump in my throat. I don't even want to think about what happens if they lose this game tonight. I think it's that big. They cannot lose the basketball game tonight. And what you're saying, like what we're pointing, that's scary because you never know when you're just going to have a quack.
Yep.
You're just going to have a duck of a game. It happens. That's why you wanted to avoid this stupid box.
Especially when you think about where you are physically, where you've got Steph Curry's got a wrap on the thumb.
Yeah.
Jimmy's got a thigh contusion. Draymond needs to do the vanilla ice every time he gets off the court. Ice, ice, baby. Too cold, too cold. Moses has back spasms. GP2, it seems like he's always got something. He's got a wrap, right, on
how
his
would,
hand?
How would you finish that rap line? Ice, ice, baby. Too cold, ice, ice, baby.
A win would be nice, nice, baby.
Oh, no. My God, we're old. I would have gone with.
I know we were doing fill in the blank. Do I win tickets?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you for playing. We've got this wonderful Warriors prize pack and some papers for you to sign in the other
Thank
room.
You.
Yeah.
And a copy of the home game.
Of course. Let's go to Nick and Martinez. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling.
Willard Dibbs, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
What's good, man?
Nothing much, man. So I got a question for you guys. I mean, I'm biting nails as well, not knowing if it's if we're going to blow them out or if it's going to come close. But if it does come close, right, knowing what we know last game with Buddy Hill ending up with the ball in his hands for that final shot and Curry being swamped or swarmed around, would you rather it be Buddy or Pods taking that last shot?
Ugh, gosh.
Depends who's hot.
My prisoner of the moment answer is Pods because I just see him over the last 3 weeks as being the hotter shooter. My career answer is Buddy Hield. We will forever, I think when you watch Buddy play basketball, I bet you've all had this experience. Thanks so much, Nick. Appreciate the call. We've all had this experience this year where you watch Buddy play basketball and then one of those career stats pops up on the screen and they're like, here's the greatest three-point shooters who have ever lived. It's Steph Curry, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, and Buddy Hield. And you're like, what? How is that possible? How have you even tried that many shots? You don't get enough minutes for that. I don't even think those numbers that we see, they don't make sense. And so you see them and you're like, Buddy is actually one of the greatest shooters of all time. He's like a top 25 three-point shooter of all time. But in this moment, these 3 weeks, yeah, I'd rather have Pods.
Yeah, to me, it just depends. If Buddy is having a Buddy game where he is Buddy Buckets, then yeah, it's Buddy. Something about Pods, and we talked about it in the crossover, and his self-confidence, his moxie, his chutzpah, all the rest of it.
Not
scared at all. And he thinks that he's the dude, and that's a great characteristic. I don't want people to take that the wrong way. I'm glad he has that countenance. I wish Andrew Wiggins, when he was here, had a little bit more of that.
I'm with you, but I also think it is a very, very...
It's a fine line,
and I think he plays it well now. But when I watch players who are in their rookie contract have that kind of attitude, you know, Kevon Looney, remember earlier this year, he's like, he's an a-hole. But we need that. It's like, okay, that's great. It's great, .. for now. I wonder where that's going as Steph becomes 38 and 39 and Warrior basketball starts to transition. Does Pods suddenly become a guy who's like, well, I'm the dude now, and like, is there a push-pull there? I don't know. I'm with you. For right now, I love the moxie that he has.
Yeah,
we'll see where it goes next.
I don't often see him make plays that are the wrong play based on his own feelings or his own self-importance.
Agreed.
He tends to make the right play in the flow of the offense. So, you know, and a last second thing, they drew up the play for Buddy. And it was a cross-court pass and it was a tough catch. And he maybe had time to pump fake and let Powell fly by. And you never know in the moment. But they designed it for Buddy, knowing that Steph was going to be at least double teamed. He might have been triple teamed. It was a double team with help. So let's hope we don't get into that tonight.
Oh my God.
I mean, I would love a good, close, competitive, fun, tight ball game. I don't want down three with 6 seconds to go, needing a three to tie.
Lovely Christy and I are going to go somewhere to watch the game tonight, and I hope.
Where are you going?
I'm not telling you. We actually don't even know yet.
Well, we'll pick a spot.
There are places
that I have juice, and I have helped you in the past.
You have.
So that's the only reason why I'm asking.
No, I'm not trying to stalk you. No.
Hey, I love birds.
I don't need to. When I need help, I'll ask for it. You know that.
And I don't need help tonight. Always.
Yes.
Always.
And I appreciate that.
That's why I'm reaching out.
No, I got you, but no, we're good. We're just going to find a spot, watch the game. But the reason I was saying that is that I hope in the fourth quarter I can just simply just look into her lovely eyes. That's what I like, and be like, what's the game? Last I checked, we were up by 32. It's down to 29. That's a bummer. Memphis is on a run.
She want to share a dessert?
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in a little bit. No rush because, you know, this one's in hand. I'm not one of these people. I don't need the tension just because it's entertaining. I don't need it.
I don't need it, but I crave it. Give me that adrenaline. Give me 121-120.
Oh, God.
You know, with 14 seconds to go. And Memphis with the ball.
I'll take the guru. Let's go kick their ass. That's what I would
you
like.
You got to go out there and be tough.
You do.
Kick their ass.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go. Hey, Trevor, BPA, stay where you are. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Eric Hasseltine is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies and a Walnut Creek guy. And he's in town, and he'll be with us here in about 20 minutes. Hour and a half, Kevin Harlan on the show. Keep on hanging because it is the biggest game in the history of mankind, and it's Willard and Dibbs.